let the drama kick, the drama kick die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick die.
Yo, it's the Big Three Roll Up. It's your boy Silk
and Newberg. We got TJ sitting here too, though.
Yeah, TJ's here. A little pop up show for the people, real quick. Surprise them with something.
Big Three pop up.
Big Three pop up. So, we finna hang out a little bit. Got a few things just to shoot the shit about, and then we're gonna have a special guest come on. Who we got coming on, Berg?
We got Marcus Spears coming on. He's been on before, but it's been a year. I think he was on to preview the last UF LSU game. So it only makes sense that we get him on again. And he's a busy man, so we couldn't get him on the regular show, but here we are popping up for you guys, doing a little extra. I gotta check my contract, man. You getting paid for this, Silk? Or is TJ working us for free?
I get paid in retweets and likes and shit on the timeline, man. That's all the money I need, bro. That's enough currency for me, a little timeline currency, you know?
Shit, I don't even get that.
Hey, but, let me see if I can get a bet out of Marcus Spears. We got him to go on ESPN to give us a shout-out. He had to wear some gear He took this L last year. So we're going to see if he gets some get back with me. I'll do a bet with him. We'll see.
Did we send him some Big Three roll-up gear? I remember us talking about that, but I don't know if we did.
Yeah, in purple and yellow, in LSU colors. So I'm going to see if I can get a bet out of Berg on this FSU game.
What FSU game?
Bro, FSU plays this weekend, Clemson.
You want me to bet on that game?
Yeah, I'll take Clemson.
Speaking of going to games, me and TJ, we're in the Trop boys.
How y'all feeling? Y'all boys got A's or what?
We got that win.
Relax.
The only thing we left with was a win, so.
Okay. They've been far in between these days, bro. I'm glad you boys can go to a game and walk away with a W, man.
Hey, that's a good team right there. Good team all season. Good team going to game 5 tonight in Houston. We'll see if they can make it to the next round.
I think you guys did well in the trenches, and they didn't get off to a fast start.
You know, you guys can criticize me all you want, but I listened to the Big Three Roll back this morning, and it's exactly what I said. You guys made fun of my analysis, and I said the Rays, their best chance to win is to get to Verlander early and, you know, hope he's having an off night.
How many
and that's
sacks
exactly
y'all get?
What they did. They scored 3 runs in the first inning, and here I am.
I think you missed your calling, bro. You should have been you should report on FSU baseball. Like, that would be it. That's the lane.
Yeah. So we had fun.
You'd be hated a lot less. I'll tell you that.
Hey, we were joking about what you said, Silk. Like, there was a pitch that Verlander totally just threw the ball over the head of the catcher and everything. It hit the backstop, and I said, like we told him, man, he didn't take care of the ball. You know, just being reckless out here.
You gotta take care of the ball. You gotta take care of the ball. So the Braves went up 10 runs in the first.
They gave up 10, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Gave up 10 runs in the first.
Big baseball talk today.
Wait. I got a question. I got to hope that TJ was not out there trolling Braves fans. Were you?
I think I sent one tweet.
After what happened just a couple months ago with our Lightning,
Jokes come for everybody, bro. People ask me all the time, how can you troll Miami when Florida State's so bad? Or, you know, how can you make fun of Florida, this, that, the other? I mean, these jokes are for everyone.
They are. You got to let them fly. You definitely got to let them fly. I missed some conversation last show about a few things that I want to discuss, man. But go ahead. Let's finish with this baseball talk.
No, I just thought it was funny. Braves, I was watching the game. The Braves haven't made it to the second, haven't advanced, haven't won a round of the playoffs since 2001. I didn't realize that.
Well, and they're the Braves when I was a kid, bro. Like, they used to make some good runs, man, with David Justice and all them boys, man. They used to be the team to watch.
Yeah, I was on the other side of that coin. I was a Pirates fan growing up. So I was in the early 90s. I was rooting for Barry Bonds and Bonilla, and they were always playing the Braves, and very rarely did they come out on top. Only once, but
so you're saying the last time they won anything significant was 2001. Before that is when they made all their good runs and everything. I mean, they're pretty much the Miami. They're the Miami of the MLB is what they are, bro.
But they're in the playoffs right now, so I don't know how that works.
But they just got bounced. That is funny. That is real funny. 2001. Wow. What a coincidence. Too bad Kev's not here for the rebuttal. Kev yelled at me on the last show. I listened back. It didn't sound that heated in real life, but it sounded like that on the pod.
I think he's a little frustrated, bro. I know how it goes, man. When you just can't find any good news, you're getting decommits, you're losing to teams you're supposed to beat. Mm-hmm. You're in a brand new tenure, and all your lies just get shown right away. It's very little recovery time when your lies hit. They show right back up, bro. Like from summer to fall, no break.
I feel bad. Listening back, I feel bad.
That was you last year, bro.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you feel bad, bro?
Bad spot, right? See? Yeah. See, I'm too sympathetic. That's my
thing. You are, bro. You got to let it fly.
I can't troll the Braves because of what happened to the Lightning. I got to lighten up on Kev because of what happened to FSU last year. I'm too sympathetic. I got to be more like TJ. I've never said that before.
You gotta let it fly, bro. Kev's feeling the heat. This is probably a good day for Kev to take a break. Kind of, you know what I'm saying? Reflect on some things.
He's got the game on Friday. You know, that'll be nice, though. Like, Kev having moved past the Virginia game, because we're doing this live stream. We talked about it on the last show. You guys know we're doing it through Patreon. So if you sign up for the lowest level, $5, you can watch our live stream. But Kev's going to be on there. Do you think Kev will be 1-0 on the week or 0-1 on the week?
I got Kev personally at 0-1 this week, dog. The Pebbles not going to be rocking this week. I don't see a way they fill that stadium. I don't think home field advantage is going to be an advantage this week. I think Virginia may bring more people than Miami.
How was it an advantage last week? A kid that was starting his first collegiate game went into the Rock and put up 30-plus points.
Yeah. So how you think
Perkins is going to do? Perkins,
yeah,
been there, done that. You know, battled FSU, battled some good teams, and yeah.
And with a team like with Miami struggling, I think Virginia's a little bit as far as the program, they're overachieving as a program these days. So I think if you get Miami to the fourth quarter, it's a team that's not used to winning, a team that has doubt, a team that's okay with celebrating. And I think they'll fold. Fourth quarter, I just think they fold.
It's hard to predict that Miami wins that game.
So
I think it could go either way, but it's really hard to sit here and predict with confidence that Miami beats a Virginia team that's better than Virginia Tech was last week. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. I think somehow there's no question Miami's physically more talented program than even last week when they turned it on against Virginia Tech. I mean, they couldn't stop them down the stretch. And if they play like that against Virginia, it's just, you're right, they've been too inconsistent on how they come out and play. And it just boggles your mind that, like, coming out of a bye week, they wouldn't be ready to play Virginia Tech at home.
And so are they ready to play?
And it's a short week for them. Like, this is, yeah, they bounce right back out there, lost like that, back in the same home building. I don't see it, man. Is there a way that Miami wins three games and, man, they get Manny ass out of here after year one? Can we see something that crazy?
I don't think so. Not unless they have a reason to fire him with cause and don't have to pay him, right? I mean, how can you fire a coach at Miami after 1 year, after already – I mean, you know, kind of going the route of value getting Manny in the first place.
It's about to be that all three teams do it 3 years in a row, but missing a bowl in the Big Three should be fired with cause. Like, that should be just the same as, like, you know, some kind of, you know, allegation of misconduct.
It's all about,
yeah.
and the worst of Kev is all about expectations. And the expectations at Miami are too high for them to settle for this. I think somebody should be fired.
I agree. Hey, Marcus Spears just texted me. Y'all want to get him for this quick interview real quick? Let's talk a little LSU.
Yeah. Let's go.
We pulling up in the bayou. Get Marcus on here, bro. Talk my shit. Back on the show, we got a fan favorite of the Big Three roll up in the LSU legend and alumni, Marcus Spears. How's it going, baby?
What's up, fellas, man? Long time no talk to, but I'm glad to be here as always.
Yeah, welcome back. Yeah, man.
Glad you're back. We got a big matchup, top 10 matchup in the bayou, man. How you feeling about it?
Man, I think, you know, before everybody get to the trash talk, I got the job to do, and just as a fan, I'm excited, man. I'm excited about it. College football, I tell people all the time, you only really get four or five, like, legit big-time games until you get to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. When you look at most of these team schedules, you know, you look and you mark them dates. And obviously, Florida opening up week zero against Miami. I know that was a huge win for the in-state fan of college football and everybody that was just starving to see college football again. But you got a top 10 defense going against a top 10 offense. It's the makings of college football and that crazy love we got for this game.
How you think Trout, you seen Cal Trask play this fall? It's been a little up and down. He had some good moments, and he's had some moments where he held on to the ball too long. Do you think this environment at LSU is too big for him, or do you think he could kind of settle in and keep playing the type of ball he was playing and the Gators defense kind of keep them in it?
You know what, man? I think he can settle in. And I was real leery of saying this when it happened, because the injury to Felipe was just devastating. You don't want to see young players go through that, even though it's a part of the game. But I thought this offense would actually be more stable with Kyle Trask in it, as crazy as that sounds, because he's a willing passer, but he's not going to put the ball in harm's way too much. And I thought at times, man, just Felipe he put the ball in harm's way a little too much for my liking. Just how I watched
it. I agree with this. I agree exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, man. And he's been.
I think sometimes if you look at, I think that's a little bit skewed. And that's not fair to Franks, because Franks' interceptions and Kyle Trask's strip sack fumbles, they're equally the same thing.
Well, they result in turnovers. But I'm gonna give you an example of what I'm talking about. When I was with the Cowboys, right, and we knew Tony Romo was a really good quarterback. We knew that. Like, we knew if you compare his numbers and everything against everybody else in the league, he was elite. The only problem with Tony was he tried to turn into Michael Jordan in important moments of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that talent, instead of just distributing the ball. Like, sometimes, look, Kyle Trask ain't going to throw for 400. And he ain't going to be prolific. But most of the time, he's just going to try to get that rock to playmakers as easy as possible. It may be boring to watch.
But I don't even think it's boring. I think he'll take I will give him that credit. I do think he'll take the check down where Franks is always looking for the deep ball.
Absolutely.
So I do like that about Kyle.
And that's where I was. That was my exact point. Like, sometimes playing quarterback, and the only reason I say boring is because so many people have become enamored with 500-yard games and five touchdowns and all of that. To me, I'm still like an old school type of person where if it ain't there, check the ball down to your running back, get 6 yards and line up again. And I think from that standpoint, he just gives. To me, he gives me a more tempered offense. Like, Felipe could hit the deep ball, and he could do the dynamic things. But, you know, in this game, man, now it's about consistency. Like, all of the teams that you see, most of the time the QBs are consistent, and they just trying to, like, get first downs instead of the explosive. And when it's available, they get it. But, I mean, I don't know if the atmosphere is going to be too big, man. You know, Death Valley, a different animal. Y'all know that as well as anybody covering the sport for as long. It's a different animal. It's a different challenge for them. And the good thing that he has going for him, he's been around a lot of ball. He's been on the sideline for a while and has had the ability to be in a lot of crazy atmospheres, but it'll be different. You won't know how he's going to respond until he in it, because that's a different animal. Now, the thing he got going for him, LSU is not as good defensively as they've been in the past. But can, like, will this defense be able to stop them from getting the 30 or 35, you know? And if they can, it'll be a good game. I don't know if that offense that Florida has right now going to put 35 points on the board. I just don't know that. Maybe they can, but if it becomes a shootout, I would lean heavily towards what LSU has been doing so far this season.
Do you think LSU has faced anywhere close to the type of defense they're going to face this weekend? I don't think they could get to a shootout.
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. They have this the best defense they have. But Florida's defense, the best defense a lot of teams have faced if they played them. A lot of it has to do with the talent. And I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, man. I'm so high on how Todd Grantham calls defense, man. Like, I being around it for so long, a aggressive coach that wants to dictate what the offense is going to do as opposed to just kind of sitting back to wait and see how they want to defend based on what the offense is doing has always been my preference. Last week when Sean Davis had the pick, just Todd having them in a rover position, reading the eyes of Bo Nix, like understanding who you're playing against too. You're playing against a freshman quarterback that's pretty much going to stick to his reads, and he's going to go 1-2 and try to get rid of the ball, and he knew that. So he put those guys in position. I think CJ is one of the top corners in the country. So when it's a 50-50 ball, LSU's receivers have been winning the majority of those. There's going to be a different animal this week. Like, but we know that. Like, we know once you get to this is pros on pros, bro. And that's what's so exciting about the SEC when you get two good teams is that you really got a prelude to dudes that's going to be playing on Sunday. So a lot of these matchups, but like Jonathan Grenard, one of the top pass rushers, Zuniga will be back, and hopefully he's super healthy. And then David Reese been in this atmosphere. He understands what it's like. He hadn't played a night game, but they had the infamous goal line stop. So it'll be interesting to see. And then on LSU side, bro, this is new territory for LSU. They've innovated. They've evolved. This offense is what the new offense is also. Now you get a chance to see if this offense, in their mind, if it's real or not, because now you're playing against a real defense.
Absolutely. What is LSU's preparation and read on the two quarterback situation? Are they preparing for both, or are they? Do they think maybe an issue? What's your take on that?
I'm sure they preparing for both. I mean, if I like knowing Dave Aranda and just how he prepared, I'm sure. Just from the fact that of seeing Emory in the game, beyond the injury beyond getting hurt that Kyle had on the hit to his knee, you have to, man, like in this day and age, especially because, you know, first of all, Dan and his creativity and how he likes to play offense, you got to prepare for everything he might throw at you. So, I'm sure they'll have packages in LSU scout team where they preparing for Emory and his athleticism and his ability to throw the ball as well, because he's not limited in that facet. And then Kyle obviously has more film on him and tape out there, so he's a little easier to prepare for from a standpoint of kind of knowing what they want to do. But if you getting paid as much as Dave Aranda getting paid, you better damn well prepare for both of them.
Yeah, Mullins kind of had Aranda's number a little bit, man. We're going to see how that play out this week. I'm excited as hell about this game. The spread started off at something ignorant like 14. What do you see the score being at? What do you see the score being at? How you see it playing out, the total game?
And I'm glad you asked. It's one of the most unpredictable games because you really got to ask yourself whose style is going to take over the fastest. And I think that's the – you know, I'm going to give you an answer, but to me, it's more deeper than just, like, is LSU offense going to be the story of the game? Is Florida's defense going to be the story? And how do they adjust to that? will LSU defense allow Florida's offense to look like, you know, they ripping off 30, 40 points because they've been giving stuff up. I see this being like a 7 to 10 point game either way. If this was a blow, if this is a 2 touchdown game, I'll be surprised. But with that being said, it's a you're a couple plays away either side from it getting that way. So that's why I say, man, it's just hard to dictate, because a turnover or two from LSU defense or a turnover or two from Florida's defense, and then you got 2 extra possessions, and if it turned into 10 or 14 points, that could be the swing of the game. So I'm excited, man. Just from a fan standpoint, from an analyst standpoint, I'm excited because you get to see, obviously, a top 10 defense and a top 10 offense. And for the national conversation, when we start talking about college football, it's just one of those, you know, can like legit defense win championships still? Or do you have to have the ability to score 30 to 40 points in order to win national championships? So I'm interested in that, man. I just, for as much as we talked about Auburn and Florida matchup last week and how important it was for Bo Nix to handle the pressure in the swamp and Florida's defense being good and Auburn's defense being good, Bo Nix couldn't handle the pressure. And that is what ended up being the story of the game. So, and then Florida was able to get in their groove and do what they do. And I think that's going to be the story of this one as well.
Marcus, from a more national perspective, you've seen a lot of football this season. 3 teams at the bottom of the top 10. Which one do you think is most likely or has a chance to sneak into the playoffs? The teams are Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Penn State.
Wisconsin. And I answer that easily. Not number one, because they got a player you can quickly identify as one of the best players in the country. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Obviously, getting the transfer at the QB spot didn't help them tremendously. And then, too, man, people have slept on how good of a coach Paul Chryst is for a long time, dude. He's ran out of talent in most of his big games, like when you consider Ohio State and how good they've been. They just hadn't been able to match that level of talent. But from a game plan standpoint, from a scheme standpoint, he's always been on point. Now he has a legit superstar. Like, Jonathan Taylor going to be in New York at the end of the year. And no question. he quite possibly could win it. And I'm very leery of saying that because, you know, obviously, like, the Heisman has turned into a quarterback award, especially with how these offenses are doing. But I would beg anybody in the SEC footprint, if you want to pay attention to something outside of that, look at what Jonathan Taylor is doing right now, man. So it would be Wisconsin for me. I think Notre Dame is good. I don't think a lot of people gave them enough credit for how well they played against Georgia. Notre Dame did a tremendous job. Only problem Notre Dame has is that I don't know if Ian Book is really like a legit QB that's going to put a lot of numbers on the board if you need
or to. Win those big games for you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so that's the tough part for them. But I would say Wisconsin is physical up front at the line of scrimmage. Defensively, they turn the football over. They got – and they, like, sneaky good athletes. Like, that's the thing that we hadn't equated to Wisconsin is, do they have receivers? Do they have – and that's been the struggle for them. This year, man, defensively, they got corners. They got guys that can rush the passer, big physical dudes in the middle of the line of scrimmage. So it'll be interesting to see how they match up against everybody.
How's your playoff picture changed from preseason to now week 7? Has it changed, I should ask you?
I didn't pick Bama to go to the national championship. I picked Georgia. So for me, the only thing that has changed, I had Clemson 1 coming into the season just based on what they did, the respect, and obviously what we thought Trevor Lawrence would be. And he's struggling this year mightily. But I got Ohio State 1, Georgia 2, Alabama 3, and LSU 4 right now. So I would Ooh. I have it there. Like, LSU is my scary pick because the defense been real suspect.
Yeah, but I like it. Right, it's also right the now, homer pick.
Well, you could say that, but I can't justify a team averaging 45 points right now as not being one of the best teams in the country. Okay. Like, I just You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I got LSU up there, bro. I said this already. Yeah. Some people had Georgia as the second best team in SEC. Right now, just keeping it a buck, no fandom, all fandom aside, I think LSU right now is the second best team in the SEC. That can change Saturday, though, but we'll see.
Yeah. And I think Georgia, to me, man, teams in the SEC are trying to catch Georgia right now at this point. And the reason I say that is because I don't think people respect how Jake Fromm can deal if they were to ever let him throw, like, consistently throughout a game. And my whole argument with that has been, I think Georgia can play any type of football you want to play. If you want to play physical at the line of scrimmage and run it, defend. And all I was waiting to see from Georgia was, defensive line-wise, did they have somebody that could rush the passer? And, shit, man, they're getting after it. Walter Green is getting after it over there. Tyler Clark is finally, you know, starting to, like, show up in a lot of stashies. So they solid. The secondary would be a question, but they still got experience back there. They got some – and they got athletes. They recruiting at a high level, like most of the top teams are. So right now they just the most complete team to me. And I probably – to be honest with you, and this may be shocking to people, if somebody said, hey, man, we're going to surround you with guys, and we need you to take one quarterback out of this car, I'm taking Jake Fromm, bro.
You like Jake Fromm like that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah, I'm not that high on him. I think he's blessed with, and a lot of great quarterbacks do, but I think he's just blessed with a plethora of athletes around him. And I think he underachieves a little bit for the athletes that's around him.
Why would you say that, though? Like, what you mean underachieve?
I just don't see the numbers. I think he's managing games. Yeah. Like
well, see, that's
Georgia quarterbacks have done in the past.
You got a great point. You got a great point there. And that's the thing that I talk to everybody about. When you look at Jake Fromm, bro, against Notre Dame, Jake Fromm threw 24 passes. 24. And most of those came in the second half when they realized they need to push the ball down the field. And two of those possessions ended up in touchdown throws. He threw the one to Cager, and then he had a little dump down to another guy to get in the end zone. I can't remember the play right now. But that's my thing. Like, is Cooley, this new offensive coordinator, going to hold Georgia back by saying, well, we just want Jake to game manage the game, and we want him to, you know, just kind of carry us through the pass game and let Swift and Harry in this offensive line? Or is it at some point they're going to open it up and let him do – I think he can deal. And look, that's opinion. So I'm not knocking your opinion about that, but my opinion is if Jake Fromm was in LSU offense or if he was in Alabama's offense, he would have the same type of numbers.
Yeah, I think the talent is somewhat similar as well. But, hey, last year we got you on the LSU Florida bet, and you lost, so you got to throw on some Florida gear, man. You want to double up on that? What you want to do?
I get my revenge on that because I think that's
I like my guys. We're going to see, though. I like my guys, though. What you want to do?
Y'all come up with something, man. Just shoot me. Come up with something. Shoot me a text. Obviously, it'll be wearing paraphernalia on TV, but figure it out. The T-shirt was straight. But I need time to get like some actual Florida gear if we run the bet off.
All right, we can send you some too.
Bet.
And I purchased my LSU stuff. TJ got me on the B3 roll up account. I can't spend my personal money on that, bro. But we'll figure it out.
No doubt. All right, brother.
All right, thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Appreciate you.
Hey, man, absolutely, bro. Hey, I wish I could do more, man, but y'all know what that schedule looked like. So anytime already. I can, man, I'm here.
This was
y'all,
a blessing.
Bro.
Yeah, this is a blessing, bro. Appreciate it.
Yep. All
right,
later.
Marcus Spears.
You know what I'm saying? Hanging out with legends. That's what we do, man.
You know, after he came on our show, like, I knew Marcus Spears was on ESPN and had known who he was and all that, but I didn't really follow him. Like, I kind of thought he was a great value Marcus Wiley for a minute.
That's disrespectful. You're the most disrespectful person, like, I've ever met. Go ahead, bro. But he's doing it in a respectful way, but it's disrespectful.
No, I'm glad he waited until Marcus was off the show to say that, bro. Like, when he listens back, he's going to be pissed. But
what I'm saying is, I just thought he was, you know, replacing Marcellus Wiley.
But then I followed him on Twitter. Hold on. I followed him on Twitter or I followed him on Instagram and started following him a little bit more on the channels and stuff. And this man is on like 3 shows a day. Then he's hopping over to do Feinbaum. Then he's doing radio. Then he's doing this and that. And he's got kids. And then he travels on the weekend to go cover a game. Like, he's working. Like, a lot of work he's putting in.
I bet that bag big too, Bird. You know what I'm saying? Bag big.
Well, he's not just working. I take that back. Also, from seeing him on all this stuff, like, there's no question that he's got his own footprint on this thing. He's way better than Marcellus Wiley. And I think, I don't know, it's going to be interesting to see the future ESPN and like how, what it looks like. And if somebody like a Marcus Spears is kind of going to be the future. How many more years are we going to hear from like these old, retired, shriveled up analysts? Like, we want to, I'd much rather watch ESPN with Marcus Spears than, no offense to, you know, the Mortensen guy, right?
Yeah, he has a actual personality. He mm-hmm. knows the game. He could talk X and O's, but he also could bring some personality to the show. ESPN is just behind on a lot of stuff, bro, but they can poach talent whenever they see fit. So I think eventually you see guys like Marcus and some other guys kind of take the forefront of what everything ESPN is trying to do. They got to entertain a little bit more. A lot of that stuff is washed.
I said wasn't disrespectful at all. That was very respectful.
You're very disrespectful, just everything you say. That's the trend that a lot of places are going, right? Like, you look at, you know, you look at, yeah, absolutely. Look at TNT is, like, their show is probably the best one. Like, their NBA show.
NBA is just ahead of everything.
Yeah, like with Shaq and Barkley and those guys. I mean, it's entertainment, you know. Yeah, like,
ESPN used to be good, I thought.
Well, y'all,
everybody's
taste changed for stuff. Right?
I thought like when Bill Simmons was on it like 5-6 years ago, and he was 7 years ago. I thought that was a good show. But anyway.
Yeah, you had Stu. You had some guys. Yeah, like ESPN was the shit. They just got like, they was the forefront of.
They've just had the same guys on there for 30 years.
Yeah.
And they got tired of hearing those same guys.
They got too big.
No, they just got too political and too caught in their format and stand in that box instead of getting young guys to come on and bring in new energy. They used to bring, they brought Stephen A. on. They brought Jemele Hill on. She's a black woman. So they, at one point in time, they was bringing young talent on that was bringing a different energy. Yeah, but then they got, the times changed, bro, and they stayed in their little box.
What's the chick's name? Maria Taylor does the college stuff now.
Boo, that's my bae right there, bro.
Yeah, I think they're doing a little better with that stuff. Like, I'm very interested to see.
My wife might listen to this. I don't know.
No, we've hit our weekly allotment of edits on the show.
One season per week.
See, we had to bleep Kev out, bro. I had to override that, bro. We've been working too hard to let Kev take us down like that, bro. Just because Miami's losing, he's just blurting off wild shit, bro. We got to get him out of there. So, Baker Mayfield, dog. I want to talk about it. We missed the last show. Baker Mayfield and Richard Sherman have had, I don't even say disagreement. Well, Richard Sherman said that Baker Mayfield is a little arrogant and not respectful to the game. Doesn't have any NFL etiquette. They had a coin toss. One video showed Baker giving him a handshake before the coin toss, and no other footage. But
then we got a second video.
We got a second video. They shook hands before the coin toss. After the coin toss, everybody shook hands. Baker Mayfield ran off. What's your opinion on this, Bird?
If I'm Richard Sherman, I think you just got to come out and chalk it up to the CTE. Like, if you come out and you just, oh, fuck, my bad. My bad. I just, you know, blame it on the CTE. Like, who's going to criticize him? Nobody. They'll just be like, yeah, chalk it up to the CTE. I don't know. I don't know. I think Richard Sherman probably made it into more than it should have been, but it is Baker Mayfield. He kind of gets the the Johnny Manziel treatment. As I think he
I don't think he's that treatment himself
a bit. What, you don't think he brings it on himself?
Oh, he definitely brings it on himself. I can see what Richard Sherman was talking about, because 9 times out of 10, before the coin toss, that's not usually caught on camera. Usually, they do the coin toss, and the good game handshakes are there afterwards. Baker Mayfield has been on this thing of kind of being a rebel, going against the grain as far as what he want to say pregame. who he wants to give credit to. I don't think he really respects his opponent like most NFL guys do a little bit. So I think the energy of most defenses that's playing against Baker Mayfield, they got a point to prove. So I just hope he's ready for the energy he's putting out, because he's putting out some energy like he's the ultimate competitor and he's not giving handshakes out. He's not respecting people like that. So when you lose, you get the Joey Bosa flag swing. You get the Richard Shermans come out and say things. It's a lot of talk coming from the Browns side, not just Baker. They got to show and prove something soon.
Yeah, and I think the quarterbacks that have that sort of bravado, right, are also the ones that aren't very good, because they feel like they got something to prove. You saw it with Johnny. You see it with Cam Newton to a good extent. You're seeing it with Baker Mayfield now. Like, you've got to – hey, and it's a business and it is entertainment. So if these guys aren't going to be good, they better be entertaining. And yeah, Baker Mayfield's still, you know, in the headlines. When he's not in the headlines anymore because people don't care about him, that's when it's over.
Yeah, I think Baker Mayfield got about a year left of this shit.
Right,
I'm gonna be real. Unless he's changed something, I think the NFL's got him figured out, and he needs to stop pissing off people. The Browns, they made some runs at some great players in the offseason, and there was a lot of hype. But the NFL, it's a different league, man. It's not a good recruiting class, and you're better. You know, this is not how that leagues work. But Baker's just not a respectful guy, bro.
But you make a great point with that. So you're onto something there, because think about it. It is kind of a good old boy network, right? And if you piss people off, and if you do it the way Baker Mayfield's doing it, and you're not very good, you're going to get your ass out of here after 2, 3, 4 years. But you can be not very good at the quarterback position, and as long as you don't piss people off, you can make money for a long-ass time.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You can be in the league for 10, 12, 14 years, and I think it's 8 years is when you become vested, and you know, start
three.
Is it
you
three?
Been three. You get vested at 3 years in the NFL.
With insurance and everything. Okay, man. I'm thinking about coaching. I think I'm thinking about coaching. But anyway, you can get a paycheck from the NFL and a good paycheck for a long time if you just, you know, stay quiet, and you can still be a shitty quarterback, Baker.
Yeah. It's just the energy. And we've seen this with Vince Young. We don't seen this before. I think you just need, even if you have a good rookie season, Vince Young came in and got rookie of the year. You got to vibe. You got to get better. Mm-hmm. And you just got to, like, win games and earn the public and your peers' respect by winning games. I think his energy is a little off, man. The 49ers had a point to prove. And they ain't the only team that's coming out with that energy versus him. I think everybody's coming out with that energy.
Yeah. Well, I'm having fun watching them. It's one of those things that you kind of watch as a car wreck's going by. But the Browns were going to be feast or famine. There was going to be no in the middle when you spend that kind of money and you bring in the personalities that you do. You make a head coaching change. Like, they did everything they could to bring the spotlight to them. So it was either going to be, you know, a championship run or this.
Another thing I wanted to talk about, we didn't talk about on the regular show. It just popped up in my mind. Your man's Jeremy Pruitt, your friends, bro. What's going on in volunteer land right now?
I'm gonna call him tomorrow. I haven't checked in with him in a couple weeks. But I talked to somebody that would know, somebody that's kind of plugged in, and I said, "Is this it? Is Jeremy gonna be out of here after this year?" And the thought process is that Philip Fulmer is gonna give him another year because he's the one that specifically made the hire. And you know, after that hire went down, it wasn't the prettiest job search. We all remember it. Jeremy Pruitt was probably like the 8th or 9th choice after they signed petitions to make sure was it Shiano that got the petitions?
Yeah, he was hired for like 3 hours, bro.
Yeah, so anyway, I think Pruitt's going to get one more year. It's not looking good, though. Even some of the, you know, you still need some talented guys, even if they're going to come in and go. But some of the guys he's had to kick off the team, some of the guys that he's lost to injury.
But I think the problem is past that, because I think he kind of put himself in a bad spot. I don't know how did he not get fired. If Tennessee just not looking for another coach, because I kind of thought he came out and told the cop, and that all this went public, that he told the cop that this doesn't happen to other cities. Why is he getting arrested with a warrant? I thought he was able to get fired with cause there. So, like, to me, Tennessee not firing him this year, I don't think they got a lot of options, bro.
Well, I don't think so, but we'll see. I hope not. I'm gonna check in with him. I'll see what he says. See where his mind's at.
And do you know he said it happened to other places? So it's got to be Florida State, right?
Do I know what?
Do you know if you, Nah, never mind. I'm gonna put you in that spot, bro.
Do I know what? I mean, when they were at Florida State, they had all kinds of guys getting arrested. You had Dalvin Cook.
So he had to be talking about Bama. Because he said this shit don't happen to other places.
Well, he was only at FSU for 1 year. Dalvin, and you remember everything that went on that year. I mean, they had the Jameis Winston stuff that was tied in with Chris Kasher and Ronald Darby. And they had the BB gun situation. They had the parking lot situation where Dalvin Cook famously said, Google me in court.
I mean, that some of that stuff happened after Pruitt was there. Like the Jameis
stuff. Yeah, he's got to be talking about Bama, bro. Like, I think that.
Yeah, Pruitt was only there for less than 12 months.
Or he right dry snitching. He dry snitching a little bit. Who tells the cops that, bro? Like, Pruitt's this, like a dry snitching, happens in, bro.
Hey, cities that want to win, like Tallahassee and Alabama, they let this crap go, bro.
You want to win or what, man?
You remember 98? You remember how nice that was? You ever want to win again? You'll he let that man go.
He basically told the cop, you guys want savages, but you can't arrest them when they do savage shit.
Pretty much.
Like, I see that T on your truck, cop. Like, you want savages. You can't arrest them.
I mean, you want us to get blown outside of the web, bro. We need this guy.
We need him.
What would Bama do? Like, right. This is...
Well, this was a fun show. I kind of like the fact that Silk took over. Like he was Shades of Stadium and Gale.
Did I take over? Kind of happened on accident. My bad,
I really
bro.
Like this. I could do this more. You present the topics and me just answer, and I like this.
They kind of just hit me off the top of my head, though. I was like, we forgot some shit last show that was on my mind. The Kush does that sometimes. I forget things I want to talk about. I got to take more notes when I'm smoking.
Yeah, and the show goes long, and sometimes. You just want to get it over with. Sick of.
All right, fellas, that was a good one, man. We got the live stream Saturday, dog. So all of our Patreon members who's ever logged in and shooting us this bread every month, y'all pull up Saturday. We hanging out doing a live stream in Orlando. If you're in Orlando, pull up and hang out with us, man. Bring some vices or food through.
Bring a side.
Bring a side. Yeah, bring a side and. We hanging out, dog. Live stream is going to be fun. We got a couple surprises or whatever. We're going to do some things while we're doing it. You guys log in, ask us questions. If you got some questions about football or
recruiting,
anything, recruiting, anything, food, bro. Food.
Religion. TJ's here.
Hey, the one thing I'll say, I tweeted this today before we go, or tweeted this yesterday. Do you guys like pork rinds?
I used to. No, I used to fuck up some pork rinds. I'm gonna be honest with you.
I think they're terrible.
My friend Colby used to have them. We'd put some Crystal hot sauce on them and eat them. But like, it wasn't.
Hey, look at Bird. Look at Bird. Bird got to a little bit, bro. Put hot sauce on the motherfuckers.
I was doing that when I was like 10 years old.
I think what's tough for me is I can't. Like whenever I eat them, like I try them every couple of years, right? Like so, Kara got some last night on the way to Epcot, and. I can't get out of my mind. I can't get out of my mind that they're not chips. Like I'm expecting a chip, and then that flavor hit, and I'm just not with it. I don't know.
It's a mental block. It's a mental block, huh?
It is.
I don't know what to get you past that, dog. I mean, just enjoy the fucking
some crystal hot sauce. I'm telling you,
pork rinds slap. I don't eat pork anymore, so I don't really recommend them to people. You know what I'm saying? Out of a lifestyle thing, but if you're into pork. Man, them shit slap, dog. It's go-to snack.
All right,
if
so
you're not
you
Muslim
come,
or something.
If you come, am I gonna have to bleep that too?
No, you can leave that.
Berg's Jewish. He eats them. It'll be all right. He's a terrible Jew.
I ain't calling anybody a terrorist or anything. I just say, you know.
So if you're coming and you bring pork rinds on Saturday, bring some hot sauce, I guess, because that's how Berg says I got to do it. So
it's got to be Louisiana hot sauce too. Don't just bring. What hot sauce did you eat, Berg?
He said Crystal.
Yeah, Crystal's Louisiana. Yeah, that's all Louisiana, right, Berg?
I mean, I think it's all the same thing. I think Berg stood up. I guess the mailman's there or something, bro. I don't know.
Probably the pest control guy coming to follow up on the bed bugs. Make sure they ain't carry Berg away. But yeah, man, y'all pull up, man, and log in and hang out with us. We provide the people with some new content, making it exclusive for the people that take care of us. We take care of them right back. Berg, you want to do the song? Or you want me to do the song? Are we doing a song?
I'll do the song. I was listening. This reminded me of high school. Riding in the back of my friend's 86 Mustang, listening to Mystical Still Smoking.
Still smoking. Still smoke. Hey, that's a joint.
Hey, that you can call gangster rapper. That's a psychedelic beat right there.
Already.
That song.
I didn't smoke weed at that time when it came out. I was in high school. I didn't smoke weed in high school. I didn't smoke weed at the time, but I kind of wanted to. It shit put me on a little, you know what I'm saying? I was saved then. I was a saved kid. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Christian kid. Yeah,
bro. Yeah, it was my friend Ryan. He had an 86 Mustang. First time I ever smoked weed was in the back of in the back of that thing. We were going to get lunch at Chili's.
It's not hard to fog up an 86 Mustang, I'll tell you that.
Definitely not. So
you were in the back seat, bro. Like, I know your knees was to your chin.
Yeah, that's where the whole bench goes forward. It's not just the seat. It's like the whole bench goes forward for you to get in the back. Yeah. Good times.
Any shout-outs, Berg?
Shout-out to the Patreon members that are going to hang out with us on Saturday. Shout-out to Kev, man. Shout-out to Kev. I know he's going through it right now.
He's going through it?
What happened? Yeah, say a prayer for my dog. They might not be bowl eligible this year.
They're not going to be bowl eligible, bro. I'm going on a limb to say that shit. Hey, shout out to the fan that came all the way from Arizona to kick it with Big Three, bro. They pull up at the bar scene, and it was all the way from Arizona. I think my dog's name's Larry, bro. Him, his brother, and his wife pulled up, man. They were super fans. His wife follows the show, and she's into all this shit. First time ever coming to Florida was last week, and that was to kick with us, man. So shout out to him.
Shout out. If you ever need some advice, just shoot us a DM and we'll get you in the life coach segment.
I hope I got his name right, dog. Now I'm going to feel like shit. So.
Okay. Good, TJ?
I'm good to go. Yeah.
We out till pop-up show, baby.
We are out here. King of Swords, what's up? Keep moving. Tampa Sweet. Good old Off the Bone. I'm old love. My lips getting black and my fingertips burn, my eyes halfway open. And I'm choking, but bitch, I'm still smoking. When I be puffing, it's like I ain't worried about nothing. If you gon' get the cigar, nigga, I do the stuffing. I roll them swole like broken arms, but I sure hate when they come around this bitch. I don't know, talking about what y'all smoking on. Nigga like that, we call them hoovers. They're trying to get cool with it to smoke your weed up. What they do, you pop, 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 goddamn it. You ain't tipping no shit in here, bitch, what's handy? But if you did, then it's good, and it's going down. Get rid of them nickels and them dimes, bitch, we blowing pounds. 10 through the 11th to the 12th, far found. The piece that one of my niggas, I heard somebody say one time. But I paid it no mind, and I kept rolling. But that was the pole, I gotta get rid of this fat ass off the mold that I'm holding. Accelerated, I made that left by line center. I hit that bitch one more time, then I threw it out the window. Young niggas in a big white truck. Know what's up? They looking to get you fucking up. It just so happened that I was hot. They looked in the back on the floor in that silver can and he found the pot. I can't believe that I got popped. It took me 2 hours and $1,500 to get unlocked. Straight from jail to the weed spot. Shit, I took that as a minor setback. Hell no, I ain't stopped. And I'm still smoking.